Avdiivka Falls, the battle for the Dnieper River line.
On the 17th of February, Russian forces finally captured Avdiivka, once a city of 30,000 people, just 10 kilometers from Donetsk. 110th Mechanized Brigade had defended the ruins for the last 2 years without relief. The end came when Russian forces infiltrated the south of the city using a concealed passage offered by a man-sized water pipe feeding Donetsk filter station. More units advanced from the north in the area of the Tarakan, slag heap, and dachas adjoining the Koksokim, Avdiiv chemical cook plant. With 80 to 110 glide bombs landing on the defenders every day, and with the threat of the city being cut in two, the Ukrainian command took the prudent decision to withdraw. The next phase for Russian forces should have been an exploitation of the breach in the defense. In fact, the assault on Avdiivka, which had started the previous October, quite exhausted the attackers. 16,000 soldiers were killed, according to a disillusioned Luhansk separatist. A staggering 531 pieces of equipment were destroyed, damaged or abandoned, including 169 tanks. It was not until the end of March that Russian forces were able to resume the advance in an organized way, although a small scale and suicidal attacks never stopped across the front lines. This article reviews the action since and specifically examines the battle for the Dnieper River line. Ukrainian and Russian dispositions. Ukrainian and Russian dispositions are shown on the map below. For both sides, unit and formation names do not correspond to actual size. A brigade may be a weak battalion. Battalions are commonly just companies. Russian prisoners routinely report how a company may start with 100 men but be reduced to as few as 10 fit soldiers. Caution is also needed because units are rotated, withdrawn, when exhausted. This is especially true of Russian forces. The map therefore represents all reported units formations and where, but they may not have been present all the time, or in strength. Russian troops on this front are referred to as center group. They are drawn from Central Military District, CVO, and 1st DNR Army Corps. Commander Center Group is the 48-year-old infantryman Colonel General Andrei Mordvichev. He has participated in the war from the beginning, rising from Army Commander to Army Group Commander. CVO has been the best performing military district, ironically, as traditionally it is the reserve district in the Russian Federation and least favored with resources. Ukrainian command in this sector falls under the Kortychia Operational Strategic Group, OSUV. The commander is a general Sodol. It is not possible to estimate troop numbers with any certainty. Both sides are depleted. The Russians continue to commit units to destruction, further complicating estimation of strengths. Nor is it possible to estimate equipment numbers. With the exception of the battalion-level attack at the beginning, Russian attacks are typically platoon strength involving 1 to 2 tanks and as many as 4 AFV. The ad hoc mix of vehicle types tells the story of Russian problems with replenishing combat losses. Ukrainian counter-attacks typically involve a single tank or AFV. Artillery and rocket fire on the Russian side involves single guns or launchers that fire one salvo then scoot. Ukrainian indirect fire has been minimal due to shell starvation. FPV and Mavic-style drones rule the battlefield, and both sides go to great lengths to conceal themselves, in the case of vehicles, guns and rocket launchers, or to remain underground if infantry. Camouflage is insufficient. The only true protection is total concealment. Saturated ECM has also become a prerequisite for survival. Avdiivka Front, Russian operational objectives. Cold War students of the Soviet Army probably remember the concept of immediate and subsequent objectives. This accounting endures in the modern Russian army. The immediate objective on the Avdiivka front was the Dnieper River line, just 10 kilometers from Avdiivka. The possible subsequent objective is Petrovsk, a major transport hub a further 30 kilometers distant. Or Russian forces might seek to advance north to Kostyantynivka, also roughly 30 kilometers distant, but of a more difficult ground. The Dnieper River is not spanned by bridges, but by causeways and dams that create the small reservoirs characteristic of the Donbass. This means Ukrainian forces could not blow bridges and conduct a classic defense of a river. Rather, they had to block the various crossing points. The defensive problem was compounded because the river line in the Umansk area narrows to a shallow stream, creating a mobility corridor, which the Russians sought to exploit in the first assault. North of Berdychi, the river runs underground and below the line of the railway. This offers a potential outflanking option, taken by the Russians in a later phase of the battle. 29 to the 30th of March, battalion armoured attack at Umansk. On the 29th of March, 6th Tank Regiment, 90th Tank Division, mounted a battalion-sized attack supported by the Militia 428th Motor Rifle Regiment. As many as 36 tanks and 12 APCs were committed, the largest grouping seen since October 2023. The assaulting force launched from Toninc. The aim seems to have been to force the Derna at Umansk, where the river narrows, to a shallow or dry stream. The attack was conducted in daylight, due to lack of night vision capability, across open ground. The assaulting force followed a road. The Russians remain unable to coordinate an all-arms assault with engineers, artillery, aviation or air, due to the lack of a working VHF tactical net. The likelihood was the vehicles were communicating on walkie-talkies. Follow the leader is the default tactic. Destruction of the lead tank quickly leads to the attack breaking up. This is what happened. 25th Separate Airborne Brigade was the main defending formation, supported by 68th Jaeger Mountain Brigade. One or more Ukrainian T-80s engaged the head of the column. Then a combination of artillery fire, FPV drones, ATGMs and mines broke up the attack. The Russians lost 12 to 15 tanks, including two T-90 MiS and 8 APCs. This was not the end of it. Failed Russian assaults are repeated until the unit is effectively destroyed. On the 30th of March, the Russians attacked with 4 tanks and 2 APCs, of which 3 tanks and 2 APCs were destroyed. On the 31st of March, 6 Russian tanks and 3 APCs tried to advance, which were also defeated. On the 6th of April, Ukrainian defenders reported as many as 11 attacks. 10 tanks, 5 BMPs and 1 MCLB were damaged or destroyed. Further south, the Militia 9th Motor Rifle Brigade enjoyed more success and captured the uninhabited village of Pervomaysk by the 9th of April. The settlement had been fought over for the last 2 years. Mid to late April, assaults on Semenivka and Berdychi. In the centre, the river line was defended by 3rd Separate Mechanized Brigade and 47th Mechanized Brigade. Both veteran formations, they had been rushed to Avdiivka to cover the withdrawal. Subsequently, they established hasty defences, the former at Semenivka and the latter at Berdychi. As many as 25 to 30 glide bomb attacks were recorded every day against Ukrainian positions, also under daily fire from artillery and rocket systems. Ground attacks were also daily occurrences. Berdychi witnessed the loss of the 1st M101 Abrams, immobilized by a Piranha FPV drone. 5 have since been reportedly disabled, mainly by drones. Using Stepov as launch point, Russian troops attempted rush tactics by section and platoon-level groupings. These were unsuccessful, defeated by a combination of artillery and FPV drones. As many as 3 T-80s and around 20 armored vehicles of various types were lost in these attacks. Over 80 Russian dead were counted in one tree line. At Semenivka, using the same tactics, 30th Motor Rifle Brigade and the Militia 114th Motor Rifle Brigade attacked from Orlivka. By sheer persistence, Russian forces reached the center of Semenivka by the last week of April and hoisted a red Soviet Union flag to prove it. Mid to late April, Ukrainian defense line outflanked in the north. On the 17th of April, Ukrainian forces suffered a major setback. As a consequence of a poorly executed rotation, Russian troops were able to advance 3.5 kilometers to Ocheretyn following the line of the railway. The Russians appeared to be as surprised as the Ukrainians. The implications were serious. The Derna River line had been outflanked in the north, imperiling units further south. In the immediate aftermath, 115th Mechanized Brigade was blamed. However, the events remain surrounded with controversy. Poor coordination between three units in the area, reporting to different high commands, may have been a factor. The Territorial 59th Battalion in Ocheretain, 45th Assault Battalion in Novobatnitivka, and 115th Mechanized Brigade north of the railway. The rail line may have acted as an inter-unit boundary that no unit properly covered. For its part, 115th Mechanized Brigade asserted it held the line from Ocheretain to Karamik, despite intense Russian bombardments, then handed it over to 100th Mechanized Brigade. The Russians quickly reinforced the success. Elements from as many as six brigades entered the salient like a rush of air filling a vacuum. See map below. Novobatnitivka and Solovyov to the south were captured on the 25th of April by Arbat Special Forces supported by 15th Motor Rifle Brigade. Novokalinov, Karamik and Arkhangelsk to the north were assaulted by militia and Russian army troops. Ukrainian forces redeployed 30th and 100th Mechanized Brigades to Ocheretain to block further Russian advances. The Territorial 100th TRO deployed to Soloviev, too late to stop the Russians claiming the settlement. The intensity of the fighting was unrelenting. By way of example, on the 29th of April the Ukrainian MOD reported 55 Russian attacks in the areas of Novokalinov, Karamik, Arkhangelsk, Umansk, Sokol, Ocheretain, Kalinov, Soloviev, Novopokrovsk, Novoslivka Pervaya, and west of Semenivka, or across the entire frontage. Faced with the threat of being outflanked and surrounded, Ukrainian forces had little choice but to withdraw from Berdychi and Semenivka to new defensive lines, prompting Defense Minister Shoigu to remark of the former settlement, once home to 260-odd families, and now totally erased from the map, that it had been liberated from neo-Nazi evil spirits. Thus, in just over a week, Ukrainian defensive position anchoring the northern sector of the Derna River had collapsed. Within 2 weeks, seven settlements had been surrendered. In a remarkable story of endurance, a 98-year-old Babizier, grandmother, and WW2 survivor living in Ocheretain walked to Ukrainian lines using two sticks for support. It took her all day without food or water to cover around 10 kilometers, falling asleep at various points, before she was found and rescued. Her home had been hit by a shell, and she had nowhere to stay. Situation at the beginning of the Orthodox Easter. Having secured height 245 at Ocheretain, Russian forces, with 27 Motor Rifle Brigade reportedly in the vanguard, pushed on a further 2 kilometers towards Novoalexandrovka. To the east, Novokalinov and Arkhangelsk were reported captured, the former by the militia Lavinia Battalion, 132nd Motor Rifle Brigade. In these areas, the Ukrainian 23rd Mechanized Brigade was forced to withdraw following heavy bombardments. More reinforcements began to arrive on the Ukrainian side, elements from 56th Motor Rifle Brigade, 24th Mechanized Brigade, 13th Jaeger Mountain Brigade, 467th Separate Infantry Battalion, and 109th Territorial Defense Brigade. In the south, 53rd Mechanized Brigade reinforced the paratroopers defending Umanks. In this area alone, satellite imagery shows 77 destroyed or abandoned Russian armored vehicles. Local counter-attacks were mounted. FPV drones and cluster shells proved effective against gatherings of Russian troops, including trucks transporting more infantry to the front lines. In turn, the Russians resorted to attacking on buggies and motorcycles, with unhappy results. In a novel development, machine guns mounted on quadcopters were used to strafe the Russian infantry. In another instance, HIMARS was used to strike a command post, killing the brigade commander. Nevertheless, Ukrainian forces had been exposed. The lack of a divisional level of command is a particular weakness. Brigades fight their own battles. What we call uncooperative formation, 3rd Separate Mechanized Brigade is portrayed as independent, can undermine the defense line. This has been an unfortunate feature of the Ukrainian army since 2014. Brittle morale may also be playing a role. Concluding thoughts. The war grinds on. The basic Russian tactic has not varied in months. What are essentially forlorn hope parties, squad-sized suicide units, rush the Ukrainian defense line with the aim of grabbing a tree line, building, or other defensible feature. Documents found on some dead by 47th Mechanized Brigade show the soldiers had only been mobilized 8 days previously. Survivors entrench and wait for reinforcement. Gradually, this grey zone is expanded and consolidated as more infantry are infiltrated to the newly secured positions. Daily pounding by glide bombs, rockets, and artillery wear down and demoralize defenders. So the front line advances, by field lengths and by streets, over weeks. The cost in lives and material is heavy, but the Russians are heedless of both. Ukrainian tactics are also unchanged. Formations grimly defend blasted settlements, using basements as shelters, and do their best to repulse Russian attacks with drones, artillery, and mines. One weak unit can compromise a defensive line. The temptation to retreat is always present. Once Russian troops secure a toehold in a settlement, Ukrainian withdrawal is not long in coming. A war cannot be won defensively ceding ground. Retreat can become rout. Ukrainians must find the will, belief, and troops to attack.